Thank you, Robbie. I appreciate you filling in for Mr. Barlow. Tommy, I'm glad you didn't call him any earlier. I don't know if we could have stood it or not. That was good. That was good. God's always good. Amen. Thank you, church, for being in your place on this beautiful Sunday morning. There is a copy of my outline inside your bulletin if you like to write. Again, I'll give you several things to jot down. We, as I said earlier, we'll be baptizing first thing next Sunday morning. I think we have 7, maybe even 8 that's going to be baptized. And I'm going to be preaching, Lord willing, next Sunday morning about that, what Robbie was singing about our inheritance, those days that will be ahead. This morning, I want to call your attention. If you'll look at my outline, the title of my sermon is, What's That in Your Mind? What's That in Your Mind? I want you to take your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We'll look there in just a few moments. As Christians, we're supposed to think with our new minds. Now, what is a Christian's mind? I want to give you a definition, if you'd allow me to. Listen closely. A Christian mind is that mind that's ordered by the Word of God, and not only by the Word of God, but also the will of God, so that it dictates the very dictates of heaven. Now think about that. It's coming from above. Now this is an awesome thought, and I'm going to repeat myself. Ordered by the Word of God and the will of God, so that the very dictates of heaven penetrate the mind, and then something's supposed to happen to us. The mind instructs the feet. Now what will be the result if we use our new mind? And I hope that everyone strives for this result. The result will be a walk on earth that will please our Heavenly Father, that will please His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why is the new mind so important? When we make the things of Christ our focus, and there's so many things out there that people get their focus on today, but again, when we make the things of Christ our focus, they become the incentive the Holy Spirit uses to inform us of God's will and God's purpose from above, again, from that great place called heaven, so that we might live successfully here below. Look with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to call your attention to two verses, and then we're going to move to the book of Ephesians. Look with me at verse 4 and 5 of chapter 4. The Bible says, in whom the God, notice that's little g, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. Again, they can't see, they can't understand, they can't comprehend. Have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Notice that little word not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Bow with me and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning just for health and strength and able to be here. We could be in a hospital, we could be in some place much worse, but God, so many times we fail to thank you for health and strength, but we do this morning for the privilege and honor of just being able to be here with your people, with good people, and worship the one true living God. And God, you're so good to us. We do praise you this morning and we love you. And we thank you, God, that you loved us enough to send your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you did not only come to earth, but you died for our sins, arose the third day. And Holy Spirit, we want to thank you this morning because we feel thy presence again, God. Bless the reading of your word. We pray ahead of time for our invitation. If there's one lost, tug on that heart. I do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at your outline. I want to give you three things this morning. Notice Roman numeral number 1, your mind and your walk. Your mind and your walk. Now, friends, if you're going to think with that Christ-centered mind, it must become a way of life every day. Now, I'm talking about 7 days, not just on Sunday. We cannot be sacred on Sunday and secular on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We cannot be holy on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. That has to be our mindset. In Ephesians, turn with me, please. We're going to finish up in Ephesians. I want to begin reading a verse in chapter 4. And I ask you this morning, please keep your Bibles open. I want to read verse number 17. The Bible says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Now, look at this verse for just a moment. They've got it on the screen. In this verse, I want you to note how Paul links the mind with a person's walk. In the Bible, the word walk is used for one's course of living, something we must not forget. The Christian life is not an airplane ride. Not at all. It's a walk. One step at a time. We walk to maturity one step at a time. And I'm going to put a plug in for tonight just in case you're thinking about coming. If you flip your outline over, you'll see on the backside 10 steps you should never take. As Christians, there's some things we should not do. There's some places we should not go. Do you agree? I want to ask you some questions. How's your walk? As a Christian man or as a Christian woman, how's your walk? Is it the direction, is it moving in with God's Word? Is the direction of your life moving in line with who you really are, a child of God? Think with me for a moment, because I promise you, someone, maybe your son or your daughter or someone, maybe your grandchild, someone is watching you. Now look at verse 17 again. Paul gives us a negative comparison to measure our walk against. The people in question in this verse are the Gentiles. Whichever way these people are walking, right or left, they're telling us, the Bible's telling us, we need to head in the opposite direction. And why is the Bible giving us such strong direction here? Because they're walking, the Bible says, in the vanity of their mind. Now, who are the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 4? They were the non-Jewish people living in Paul's day who had never prayed that sinner's prayer. They were people in Paul's day who had not accepted Jesus Christ yet as their Lord and Savior. And they knew nothing at all about this thing called the new mind. A very important question. How does God want His people to walk? So many times we get saved and then we forget about our walk. It happens to most all of us. In Ephesians 4, I want you to hold your place at verse 17. We're coming back, but I want you to flip back just a little bit. Look back at verse 1 of chapter 4 in Ephesians. The Bible says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthily of the vocation wherewith you are called." Now, verse 1 tells us to walk in accordance of who you are. And I want you to think for just a moment, if you prayed that sinner's prayer, who you really are, you've got a great calling. You're part of the family of God. Amen? We must make sure that we walk, because we belong to the family of God, we must make sure that we walk a great walk. Now let me share a story, and some of you probably heard this in school, about Queen Elizabeth. Her mother would get on to her because when she was sitting, she would slump. When she was walking, she had bad posture. She would not walk straight. She would not walk with her shoulders back. And her mother would get on to her, it seemed like, for months and months, and never could get that to register in her mind that she should stand up straight and sit up straight when she's sitting. Finally, she had to tell her something like this. She said, "Liz, when you understand that you're going to one day sit on the royal throne, and everyone who sees you is going to know that you belong to the royal family." When she said those words, it's like the light came on. And she started sitting up straight and she started walking straighter. I want to ask you the question, do we really realize who called us? Think with me for a moment. It was Jesus Christ, God's Son, that tugged at your heart. It was Jesus that called you one day. It was Jesus who drew you. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you're a child of the King of Kings. Think about that and let that sink in for just a moment. If we are a child of the King, we should act like it. Do you agree? If we are a child of the King, we should walk like it. Not just on Sundays, but each and every day of our lives. Look at verse 17 again. We find out why Paul says we shouldn't imitate the Gentiles. The unbelievers, the lost people, they have a mind problem. Verse 17, if you look at it again, they walk in the vanity of their mind. What does that mean? They're living without purpose. It's not that unbelievers don't walk, no. The problem is that when they walk, they're not going any place at all. They're just going in circles. They're never really accomplishing anything. Unbelievers are constantly moving, but they're not going any place at all. Now listen closely. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen closely. It's the same with Christians out of God's will. The same. They're moving. They're going around and around, but they arrive at the same place. They never do anything for Jesus Christ because they're out of God's will. Now please don't misunderstand me today. Their activities may produce something called money. Their activities may produce something called power. Their activities may produce something called prestige. But when it's all said and done, they all end up at the same place. Lost people and those people who are out of God's will, they end up with a life of emptiness. A life of emptiness. Why? Because it was produced, according to God's word, by a vanity mind. And if you're here today and lost and undone, listen closely to my next statement. The problem with the unbeliever, the lost person, they do have a mind problem. And I understand they have a heart problem, but they have a mind problem because his or her mind has not been informed by the life giver, Jesus Christ. Bottom line, unless the lost person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he or she will arrive at the meaning of life with no meaning of life at all. They're going to wind up one day and they're going to wonder, what happened? Why have I wasted it all? Why have I not done anything that has any meaning? Plus, the final destination for that lost person. You and I know the Bible tells us in many places they'll end up in a place called hell. I was reading something that I found very interesting the other day, and some of you all may know this. When I watch television now, there's not a lot on television worth watching today, are they? Well, I like ball games, and you know, I watch some ball games on TV, and David Walsh will get me because he watches the state, and I watch Carolina, but we have some fun, and we pick sometimes, don't we, David? But we watch some good ball games from time to time, baseball, football, whatever it may be. But I found out while I was doing a little studying, the major networks forget forget about adults, and they try to target 12-year-olds. Did you know that? Seriously, that's who their prime programs are at 12-year-olds. They figure this. They figure if they can get the kids, they've got the adults. Now think about that mindset. That's their mindset, and they're playing with our minds. Now why do they believe this? When most people sit down in front of a television, they shut their minds. They're wanting to see something. They're wanting to be entertained. And this is one reason TV is so influential. It's an access to those empty minds, those empty heads. So what television advertisers do is fill our non-thinking minds with their ideas, which show up every single time with that thing that you have behind you in your wallet called a Visa card or a MasterCard. It always shows up there when we sit down and we're not really focused and we're not really thinking, and maybe they're pushing something on our minds. They caught us when our mind was empty. Now look at verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 4. I read verse 17 a while ago. Look at verse 18. There's still more reasons we shouldn't think like people with Gentile minds. Verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, we're still dealing with the mind the way we think here. Lost folks, unbelievers cannot understand because they have something on called blinders. Look back at that verse. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. The Bible is very clear as to where the blinders come from. I read that my very first verse. Let me read it again. Stay with me in Ephesians. Listen as I read my text again. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world, again, little g, hath blinded, there's that word I'm talking about, the minds of them, who? The lost people, those which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Friends, that is why it takes the Holy Spirit to bring a person, a man or woman, a boy or girl, to Christ. People are wearing something called spiritual sunglasses that block the light. Now think with me. Most people own a pair of sunglasses, and many people wear sunglasses to try to look good. Am I telling you right or wrong? Not all people. Blocking light many times is the secondary motive. Now, how do you know? Because a lot of people wear their sunglasses inside, indoors. Their motivation is not to see clearly, but to be seen. Some people just want to be in style, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what does Satan do? Satan blinds the non-Christian in such a manner that they forget. Listen closely. They forget that they cannot see. I wonder, do we realize that in the year of 2013, many people, lost people especially, but there's many Christian men and women who cannot, because they've been blinded, they cannot see sin as God sees sin. Did you know that? That's what's going on in our world today. That is why in our world today there's so much evil. That's why there's so much wickedness. That's why there's so much sin. Let me give you some examples. Adultery, to some people, is just an affair. They don't see it as sin. Abortion, to some people, is just another choice. They don't see it as sin. Homosexuality, to some people, is just an alternative lifestyle. Now, what has happened? Why are so many people blinded? They used to read the Word of God and obey the Word of God. The unbeliever's mind gets so messed up, he's walking around in the dark thinking that he's in the sunshine. Again, the Christian, the man and woman who has accepted God, Jesus Christ, God's Son, but listen, they're out of God's will. Their mind gets so messed up, they're walking around in the dark thinking the same thing that lost people are, thinking that they're in the sunshine. Now, what must these people do? They must see sin as God sees sin. That's got to happen. We're headed down a bad road. America, we love America, but there's going to have to be a turning back. There's going to have to be something called repentance. We're going to have revival. People are going to have to see sin again as God sees sin, and then we must repent of our sins. Now, how can we know if we're headed for trouble? One of the ways that you can know that you're walking like the Gentiles is when it becomes more important to gratify your flesh than to glorify God. Cindy, you had a wonderful children's sermon. Again, you can tell a lot about people by how they spend their time, right? And how they spend their what they spend their money on. Asked you before I move on to Roman numeral number 2, how's your walk? How's your walk? During the week, are you lost? The answer is yes. I asked you this morning, would you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I wonder, could there be a Christian man and woman today? Knowing that their walk is not what it should be, well, I asked you this morning, would you come back? Would you come back to God? Notice Roman numeral number 2 in your outline. We must be learning the ways of Christ. The ways of Christ. In verse 20, Paul makes a contrast. In Ephesians 4, still have your Bibles open, look at verse number 20. The Bible says this, but you have not, so learn Christ. In other words, maybe we've been saved a long time, but we're not maturing. We're spiritual babies in Christ. Paul has talked about the Gentiles, and we understand they walk a course independent of God. But now he's changing directions and he's talking to us. He's talking to Christian men and women. He's talking to the believers. And if you look at this verse, I want you to note the words, but ye, the believers at Ephesus, you and I, we have learned a different way. We're not to be of the world. We can be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Do you agree? Now, where does the learning take place? Again, right here in the mind. Let me explain. Paul is referring to two different things. First, the fact that we were given the mind of Christ. And you say, I don't understand. When did that happen? That happened the very moment that you prayed the sinner's prayer. The very moment that you accepted Jesus Christ, God's Son, that happened. You had the mind of Christ. May not understand everything, but that's why we need to be in the Word of God indeed. We were given, all who prayed that prayer. Second fact that Paul had taught them for 2 years, and none of what they learned included walking like the lost. Nothing that they learned included like walking with the world. Now, what's happened as Christians leave God's word? It breaks my heart. I know it breaks God's heart. You and I, right now, we can think of people that used to be in church that won't come anymore. You and I, right now, can think of people that used to be on fire for God and do so much, but they won't even do anything at all. What's happened? What's happened to people, Christians, who leave God's will? That Christian is trying to make the mind of Christ operate in the context of the world. The result is a split personality. Why? Because the mind of Christ only teaches us now we are to walk to please God. It's not going to teach us to walk to please ourselves, not to please the world. Ladies, I want to ask you, and you can smile and laugh. Have you found it funny, ladies, that maybe your husband, men, they just don't want to stop and ask for directions? Have you found that? Now there's apps on phones. Now you've got maps, and you know they don't really have to stop because there's navigation. But you know, back in the old days, and you know, you drive around and they wouldn't stop and ask. There's a lot of you smiling, looking at your husband. I know that. And ladies, have you found it very interesting for some reason when you would buy something or your husband would buy something and they had a piece of paper in the box called directions, and they were very quickly just to lay those directions aside or throw them in the trash and do it their own way. Ladies, what do you think? You know what I'm talking about. I want you to listen as I quote one man's confession, just so that you can smile. Now, I don't know who this is coming from, but I'm quoting. It says, "I was assembling a bicycle and didn't want to fool with the directions. I figured I could do it with 2 hours with what the direction were going to take me 6 hours to do. 10 hours later, I'm still getting the wheels out of the box." End of quote. Now, ladies, you can smile because you've got husbands probably just like that. I'll tell you one of my stories. When our boys were small, there's 4 years difference between Josh and Jonathan, and I can't remember the age. Maybe it was 8 and 4 or 10 and 6, but we, Teresa and I, for Christmas, we were buying them a swing set, and it was a huge swing set, and we had it in the basement there in Fairway Acres where we lived, and it was still in the box, and you know, I was waiting, being a businessman, I was pretty busy, but I was going to put it together Christmas Eve. So I went down there, and you know, the first thing I did was unpackage everything and throw the directions away. Teresa knew that I was down there working, and she came down there and she said, "Sam, I just don't believe you're going to have that ready by Christmas Day. You know, you can," and that got me motivated. And then she said something else that really got me motivated. She said, "Do I need to call my daddy?" You know, when you get married and hadn't been married a long time, you're supposed to be able to be the man, you know. So I didn't want her calling. So, you know, the next thing I did, I started looking for those directions and got that put together pretty quick. Now, what's Paul trying to say to us? Paul is saying when you walk like the Gentiles walk, you wind up purposeless. Paul is reminding all Christian men and women, if you don't follow what we've learned from Christ, again, the Word of God, we're going to end up in something that's called a big mess. When we come to a place toward the end of our life, it's not going to be those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." No, we're going to find ourselves again in that mess. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we must read the Word of God, not only on Sunday morning and Sunday night, but we need to be in the Word. And I'm thankful, as Robbie has said, that these youth are right here. I thank God for you. But listen, be in God's Word every day. Adults, we need to set that pattern. We need to set that example. We need to be in God's Word. We need to read the Word of God. Plus, adults, we need to let these young folks see us obeying the Word of God, not cutting corners. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 21. The Bible says, "If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." There's that word we're talking about. Mind. Verse 24. "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now many Christians have gotten so used to the old life that they're not totally convinced that putting on the new is going to be any better at all than the old. In other words, many Christians have been involved in some sin. Maybe it's a hidden sin. Maybe it's an unknown sin. They've been in it so long, they just accept it. How sad, how tragic, and how it must break God's heart, the one that we love and the one that loves us. In verse 21 and 24, if you'll glance back, Paul is using the image of putting on and taking off clothes. Let me explain why Paul is doing this. I mentioned my boys a while ago when they were young. Teresa would tell you they change clothes two or three times a day. You know, a lot of boys will do that. I'm not sure about girls, but you know, back in Paul's day, clothes meant a whole lot. Let me tell you why. In Paul's day, getting clothes was a big deal. The average Roman citizen was only able to afford a couple changes of clothes per year. And when a person in the first century got a new set of clothes, they were gladly willing to take off the old clothes. And you say, why? Because the old clothes were maybe had holes in them. They were becoming bare from being worn every day and from being washed so much. They were stained, no doubt. They were torn, no doubt. And they were very ragged. The new clothes, what were they were like? They were like a new beginning. They were like a fresh start. And something that Christians should not forget, something that Christians should not overlook. When Jesus met you, understand He gave you a fresh start. Amen? He gave you a new beginning. Is that not right? And friends, if we would just keep that fact in our minds, it should pick us up a little bit. It should empower us when Satan comes our way. It should make us to do more if we're really loving Jesus like we should. Aren't you glad when Jesus, when He saved you, He gave you a fresh start, He gave you a new beginning? Aren't you glad? Roman numeral number 3, let me finish with this. We must be plugged in and programmed. We must be plugged in and programmed. Maybe someone here is struggling today. I don't know. I don't know what's happened to everyone all during the week since last Sunday. I know almost everyone here, but maybe someone's struggling and I don't know. Maybe no one knows but you and God. Maybe there's someone here in sin, and that sin is about to eat you alive on the inside. It's tearing you up. Maybe there's someone here just hurting. Maybe you've got some bad news this week. Let me give you some application as I close. One of my favorite verses, and you can put this in your notes, I share it many, many times, Philippians 4:13. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. That's on the screen. Look at that for just a moment. I want you to note it isn't all things, period. No. It's all things through Christ. So whatever the habit may be, whatever the sin may be, whatever struggle you may be going through, whatever the problem that you may be having, you can say, I can overcome it. How? Through Christ. Amen? I believe that. Maybe at our time of invitation, some would need to come and just pray this one prayer that God would give you strength. And you say, preacher, I'm not so sure. What kind of strength are you talking about? I'm talking about that strength that would enable you to share your faith all next week. I'm talking about that strength that would make you fulfill your purpose that God has for you. That strength would allow you to fill that plan that God has only for your life. That strength that would allow you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to encourage someone else, someone that maybe you go to school with, someone maybe that you work with that's just really struggling. That strength that would cause you to love your neighbor the way the Word of God tells us to love our neighbors. Remember, you and I have been given the mind of Christ, plus we have God's Word. Everyone knows what a computer is. Everyone knows a computer only works properly if it is plugged in and programmed, right? Plugged in and programmed. Same with Christians. Did you know that? Same. Program, look at your outline. It means that you learn the Word of God. Why? So that you have divine, catch that word, divine data in time of need. When the old devil shows up, when you lose that job, when hard times come your way, plugged in means you're walking in dependence of the Holy Spirit. Why? So the power line is well established between you and this great, glorious place called heaven. I want to ask you, we're closing, a couple questions. Is your mind right? Is your heart right? To the mothers that are here, if your daughter would say, I want to be just like you, what would you say this morning? If that would be your daughter's heartbeat, Mom, I want to be just like you, would that be a good thing? Would that be a bad thing? Dads, fathers, if your son would say, Dad, I want to be just like you, would that be a good thing? Would that be a bad thing? Again, what's in your mind? I hope that it's godly things, good things, things that we find right here in the Word of God. Let's stand together as we pray together.